So I was looking in my email. There's the reading pane, and then there's the pane that shows who sent the email. I was only looking at the reading pane. I was just kind of scrolling through quickly to see, am I getting a lot of responses or not? And one person responded back and just said, snake oil. And that was the only response. And I'm like, oh, some people. And then I looked and saw who it was. It was another one of my real estate friends. And he was just like, oh. But there are so many people that just believe that real estate is like some kind of a scam. If you know somebody who is in this business or you hear a podcast, just pick up the phone or go to their website, and you know, most of us have a calendar link. Have a discussion.
Welcome to the Ask Me How I Know show. I'm your host, Julie Holly, and I'm so excited you're here. Ask Me How I Know is the only podcast in the multifamily niche replicating what takes place outside the walls of a seminar. Remember when we used to get together like that? This is like the lobby where honest, unscripted conversations take place and transformation happens. We'll talk about practical problem solving in the multifamily niche, as well as overcoming mental roadblocks. This episode is brought to you by Three Keys Investments. Three Keys Investments is dedicated to helping people like you, yeah, you, enter the multifamily investment space to build passive income and legacy wealth. If you haven't already subscribed and reviewed Ask Me How I Know, I'd be honored if you did. Thanks so much for joining me today, and now for our featured guest. Hey guys, welcome back to Ask Me How I Know. I always have the best guests on my show. Like every single week, you guys get to meet the most amazing people. And somehow I get to have relationships with most of the people that I get to feature on the podcast. But today I have somebody who is one of the other huge influences on my investment journey. And I'm so grateful to have you on my podcast, Steve.
Thanks for having me, Julie. That's a heck of an introduction. I'm glad I'm joining the ranks of the wonderful people you've interviewed recently.
Yes. Well, you know what? You're especially special because, like, you know, I had somebody that introduced me to syndication. I had another person kind of take me under their wings. And then when I decided to sign up for a mentoring program, bam, I ended up working with you, and a huge, huge impact on my investment journey. And sometimes the right, you know, well, let's just face it. We both know you keep me out of wearing orange. So thank you for that.
Right. Well, you know, that relationship goes both ways. So the teacher learns just as much as a student, and it's been a pleasure.
It's a lot of fun. And I know that I wouldn't be where I am at this moment if we had not been working together for all these months. So, and then having a friendship, it's like, this is super cool. I really like this.
Yeah, that is actually the best outcome of all the coaching I do.
Yeah. And that is something that I've seen from the outcome of lots of coaches in your shoes. Well, I am wondering just a little bit of, would you like to give a little backstory for yourself? I don't usually go into a bunch of formal introductions, but right. How did you end up in investing in real estate?
I'll try to keep it brief. So
there is a timer. It's on my wrist.
Keep timing. So I was, you know, like most people in corporate America, putting all my money in a 401k. 2008 came, kind of wiped out half of that. And by 2013, when the stock market had come back, I had pulled everything out of the stock market and started investing in real estate in small duplexes, triplexes in my area. And then eventually went for much larger properties. I too signed up for training and coaching and went through all those steps in order to launch my business, and then left my job. And then shortly thereafter, we met.
And then, and it was just that easy, right?
That's it.
It was like wham, bam, boom.
I'll tell you, it was easier having a coach because I had my wheels there for a while trying to do this on my own.
Yeah. So what are some of those risks that you would say people face when they are trying to go it alone? Like, let's put it this way. A lot of people listen to podcasts. I was one of them where I just totally binged on Bigger Pockets and Michael Blanc and every other podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought I could figure it out. And then I realized, hey, I'm spinning my wheels. I gotta take this next step. Like, what are some of the risks that you see people facing if they're not signing up for a more formal mentorship?
There are so many, but the most common risk is that they do just listen to podcasts and they think they're going to get started. And there's always sort of that thing in the back of their mind that says, What is it that I don't know? Or what if this happens? Or, you know, all these what ifs. What if I'm not capable? All of that stuff. And then you might not ever get started because you're just waiting for the right time or waiting for the right deal or whatever. So by having a coach, they kind of erase all of those concerns with you. And I'm not saying that's easy either. There's certainly work to be done there to help clear your mind of those limiting beliefs. But they're there as a backstop to make sure that you're not getting yourself in trouble, that you don't do any bad deals, whatever. And it's just so much easier to move forward knowing that you have that person coming along with you and, you know, sort of looking over your shoulder. So that's the most common. Of course, the biggest in terms of syndication is if you don't do it right, you know, we're heavily regulated by the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission. So if you make mistakes in that area, then you're in big trouble.
Some seriously big trouble. I would say also, I think about everybody's personality is a, you know, unique. And on the personality spectrum, this is really going to be a shocker to you. I'm a maverick. Shocker, right? So, but as a maverick, I could find myself in a lot of trouble. As you just mentioned, I really needed that other person to be accountable to. And it's interesting that, so if people listening, if you understand how you're wired, play to that. So I know I don't like letting people down and disappointing people and knowing, oh my gosh, I'm going to be calling Steve up. We're going to be on a call. I got to get this done. Sometimes that's just the impetus that you need to just keep push through the discomfort. Yep. And sometimes we're willing to do things for other people that unfortunately we won't do for ourselves. So that person, it's a reality. And I feel like a lot of people don't want to admit that reality because it feels like a shortcoming, but really is a reality. So since we're talking about coaching, I was thinking we'd talk about this at the end, but we're talking about coaching right now. I'm wondering, you offer some different coaching services, mentoring.
I do. So I'm still involved in the coaching group that you had signed up with. And so, you know, that's one area. And then I also have people who reach out to me directly. And generally, it's, you know, folks who've again, they've been spinning their wheels. Maybe they've bought a couple of properties, small properties, and now they want to do something larger. So I'll have a conversation with them. And I'm always happy to, you know, talk for half an hour to see where they're at and where they're headed and whether or not we can help each other.
That's a really important opportunity. And as you're talking about that, you offer something I think that's even more unique. And this is something I would love to highlight because I think everyone should give you a call and say, this might be the right fit. So this might be the right fit. But some people, they really don't want to become active investors. They are spinning their wheels because they want to be involved in syndications and multifamily, but they really don't want to be active. They just want to be investing on the passive side, and they have the means of accomplishing that, but they also don't want to find themselves in trouble in a bad deal. So maybe we could talk about a lot of different facets of that.
Yeah, I think just to rephrase that, what I hear often is, I've always wanted to do real estate, but I don't want to be a landlord.
Yes.
That kind of says it all, right? They've got a job, they might have kids, you know, they just don't want to have to do all of the hard work required to make the great returns. And that is where syndication or partnerships come into play.
That's a huge element right there. What are some of the things that, you know, people go sideways when they are passively investing? What are some of the things that you see that would help people make smarter choices when it comes to investing passively?
So I just want to back up just a little bit. So in terms of the people that are looking at, I want to buy real estate or I want to be involved in real estate, but I don't want to be the landlord. There's that. And then there's also people that have been the landlord and have a really hard time letting go. I fell more into that camp. I thought I had it, right? And I was going it alone. And so when you're looking at passive investments, as long as you do it right, you can vet your sponsors well and make sure that they're they've had the experience that they're going to manage your money properly, et cetera. You can vet the market, you can vet the deal, et cetera. So there's certain things you can do to alleviate those risks, but you have to let go. And being a bit type A, it's hard for me to let go. And when I first started investing in passive real estate, I just watched everything very carefully. Of course, I did all my homework and I let go and it worked out really well. But I also didn't ask a lot of great questions. I was just like, I think this is a good person. I did a couple of background checks here and there with people, but it didn't mean that they were going to be a good operator. But I did get lucky, I'll admit. There was a bit of luck there. What I do now is I work with people also that I meet who only want to be passive investors. And I'll actually walk them through the steps of here's how you can vet a sponsor, a market, wherever that property is, and the property itself, all the financials. And it's usually, you know, it's like a few calls or something, and you get to really understand that. So how do you go wrong? You go with a sponsor that doesn't have a great track record, or they seem to have a good track record, but you didn't really check on that. You didn't call their references. You didn't do a deep dive into their portfolio. You didn't ask for financials of a project that maybe they offered a year ago and said, show me what's happening today based on your pro forma and then today's numbers. And are you actually doing what you set out to do? You know, just tips like that to really understand how might this opportunity go if I jump in.
That's huge. Those are huge gems. So someone's listening in, they're like, I just want to invest passively. How do we even find this person to invest passively with? Like, there's this whole sea. I'm going to go do a Google search and find somebody and go through how many people?
Well, you said at the beginning, you've interviewed a lot of amazing people. I would venture to guess that many of them have actually sponsored deals as you know, general partners in a syndication. So that's the best place, because during these interviews, you get to know the person a little bit. So if you find one person that you think that seems like a nice person, or we're well aligned in terms of just age or our life story, whatever it is, then Google search and find another interview they did and kind of validate that feeling. Then check out the website and give them a call.
There's a lot of truth to that. And by the way, most people know, or, you know, pick up after listening to my show, is that I always end up saying at the end, and if you like this person, if they've resonated with you, then make sure go check them out. It might be the right fit for you. So yeah. You're absolutely right. I think that's how I found the first person that we invested passively with was, you know, through vetting them through, you know, it's just like, I felt like I had a relationship with them. You know, there's this track record. I've heard the podcast for so long.
Yeah. Sometimes you listen to 3 or 4 different episodes of various podcasts with the same person. I really do think we're well aligned. You know, it's like, just pick up the phone already.
Right. Exactly. Just give them a call. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay. When we think about passive investing, it seems like so many people don't know about passive investing. They don't know about syndications. And somehow maybe they've stumbled across my podcast through our mindset episodes and everything. And they're like, this seems like a magical world. And you know, because we have a relationship, I do believe in rainbows, unicorns, four-leaf clovers, like pots of gold, you know, and I feel like multifamily is that. But how is this even a reality that so many people don't know about this? And
these are the things that they don't teach in school. Right. So, you know, and also when you start your first job at a regular job or company, they usually have a 401k program and they literally auto enroll everybody who starts working with them. Like, you have to make a conscious effort in most companies to unenroll if you don't want to be in that. So we're just, you know, brought right to that trough immediately of, you know, eat whatever is in front of you and you're going to be fine when you retire. You're going to have a nice big fat retirement account, and it's all going to work out well. But in reality, we know that that's not necessarily true. And if you just follow that easy path, then you will never find out. You have to do that research and consider your options and talk to people about it. So yeah, you know, I was actually shocked when I found out about it. I'm like, wait a second, why has nobody ever told me this? And then I did a lot of research. I'm like, this has got to be snake oil because it's too good to be true.
And it's swampland, it's snake oil.
Yeah. Finally, I pulled the trigger. And again, it worked out really well to the point where I did 13 passive investments in the course of like 3 or 4 years, and then decided I just wanted to be all in and do this for a living, really.
That's a big step to make. But when you have so many positive experiences, it makes sense to go that route. So what did you end up doing with all your duplexes and all the little golems that are like going solo? These are all mine.
Yeah, no, they were. They're all like my little baby cash cows.
Right.
Yeah, I sold them off over time. So I'm selling the second to the last one right now. The market is crazy hot right now for that size property, for those smaller real estate properties. I would never buy at the price that I'm selling at.
Wow.
It would have to be discounted probably 30%+ before I would even consider buying it. But there's people out there that'll literally buy anything.
Why do you think that people are willing to buy? Because we're seeing, I mean, we're noticing that in our tiny town market, people are paying through the roof for different properties. And we're like, oh my gosh, you're crazy. Yeah. So what do you think is driving that?
I think there's definitely a little bit of fear about where the stock market is and people are trying to diversify. There's people that just don't know how to underwrite properly, or they think it's okay to just cash flow, you know, on a $300,000 down payment, they think, or $200,000, whatever it is, depending on where you live, they think it's okay to make, you know, $1,000 a month or $500 a month. I can do far better than that in a passive investment in a syndication without having to lift a finger, without having to deal with the tenants or any of the stuff that comes with being a landlord. So, you know, when you don't know what else is out there for an option, you have nothing to compare it to. So you're like, well, I'll make $1,000 a month net. That seems pretty good. But then they're probably also not thinking about, you know, you need to put maintenance reserves in place. So you're not really making $1,000 a month. You ought to be putting 100 of that or 200 of that into reserves, because you are going to have to fix that water heater or the roof or whatever it is that happens, or, you know, whenever things break. You will likely have somebody move out, hopefully not in the middle of the night, but they will move out. You're going to have to go in there and paint and have a down unit for a month. So, you know, there's $1,000 potentially gone. So people just don't do their homework and think about all those things. In general, I think that's where most of the overpaying comes from. But then we also have people that are coming potentially from other countries, and they're just looking for a place to store their cash. So they'll buy a property knowing that it's going to at best break even. And they're happy with that because they're putting their money into a safe asset that's going to hopefully appreciate even 1 or 2% over time with no cash flow, and they're fine with it.
It's amazing. There are so many, I'm becoming acutely aware of how many, you know, foreign investors there are, you know, just like you said, just putting their money in a safe spot.
Right. Which also informs me a little bit of like when times are tough and like things get really shaky, most of these people are coming from like economies that shouldn't be where they are or have already collapsed or whatever. And they're just like, I need to get out of here. And they're really concerned for their capital. And where do they flee to? Number one, they come to the United States, which is pretty amazing that we actually happen to live here. We have excellent legal protection for real estate. So when you buy that real estate, it's actually yours. Nobody's just going to walk over and take it from you. And then, you know, they know that their money is protected because they're in what supposedly is a sound currency, at least the cleanest shirt in the laundry.
That's a really good way of putting it. I've never heard it put like that. And that makes so much sense because it's all kind of crazy right now.
It is.
As you are looking into the future, if you are thinking about people that have an asset that, and I'm thinking more about the active investors right now, and they were slated to sell off next year. Next year was their year three or their year five, and they're supposed to be selling off.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those people going to be? What's your, and this is crystal ball, this is speculation, or, you know, just off the cuff, Steve, advice for people that are like, oh, crud, the economy is going to be in the tank, or I don't know.
So I literally just had that call this morning with somebody. So it's a coaching student from maybe 6-9 months ago. And they called and said, hey, we're going to be selling a property in the next few months and wondering, you know, what are your thoughts around what we should do with the money? Should we 1031 into another property to try to avoid the taxes? Should we just sell it, put the money in the syndication, and then take the tax losses that the syndication throws off in order to offset their gains? So they had all these questions. And the very first thing I said is, why are you waiting a few months? Like, put that thing on the market right this second. The market is incredibly hot and it's definitely not going to last long. Like, everybody's thinking, well, I guess all the smart money, which is how I like to follow who I think the most intelligent financial and economic guys are. To me, it seems like they're all saying kind of the same thing. We haven't yet seen the real impact of the economy being shut down. And next year is going to be very tough, which means, again, people may have a hard time paying their rent. And this was a lower C class asset right in the middle of the city. So it's not like a suburban and a B class asset where you've got people that are a bit better off, have more savings. They're not going to miss their rent payment because they have to change the starter in their car.
Right.
So it's just a different class of property and of tenant. But he was definitely at that lower end. And I'm like, next year you may not have anybody paying rent. And now you're paying money into the property to keep it afloat. And that could last for a year or two or longer, like who knows. But right now you could sell at a massive profit. Why won't you just do it right this second? So by the time we got off the call, he's like, okay, I'm listing it tomorrow.
He's like, I gotta get off the phone right now. I gotta get on the phone with my partners.
And I actually had a similar conversation. So I was just saying I was selling a place. I had a conversation with a realtor friend of mine and I said, hey, what do you think? Market's pretty hot. Is now a good time to sell? And he's just said exactly what I just said. And then we talked about how much I can get for my property. And I was thinking I was going to make a decent profit. He literally got $120,000 more than I was expecting.
Oh my goodness.
I was planning on listing it for $550 and hoping, I'd get kind of that much. He actually listed it lower. I had 18 offers and made this crazy profit. So that tells you a lot about where the market is at the moment. But again, it's a good chance it's not going to last. So if you think you have a profit that you can take now, I would absolutely take it.
It's a smart move. We happened to sell off right before the crash in 2008. We're going to have our first child. And I just told my husband, let's just sell this particular property off. And it went in and out of escrow, the most crazy, bizarre escrow I've ever experienced. And it closed probably 2 weeks before everything just collapsed. And we went back to live in the state a couple years later in 2011. All that to say, this home that sold for, $225,000 was on the market for $100,000. It's and we knew that we were selling it super high and we knew we'd hit everything just right. But it was one of those whoo. Yeah. So congratulations. That's super cool.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm thrilled. And now I get to put the money into syndications.
I was just going to say, so.
Yeah. So, so that's, the next question would be, where are you putting your money?
Right. Exactly.
And right now, I'm being super cautious with apartment deals. And the way we're underwriting is to assume that there's zero rent growth next year, perhaps even a little bit of a decline in rents. And I haven't done that, at all in prior deals because markets have been, on fire and rents have been going up in the markets where we invest, 3 to 6% every year consistently. So, but we know that's not going to last forever. And next year is probably going to be the year where that really bottoms out. There's that. There's a few other things we're doing to be very cautious again in our underwriting. And when I do that, then I'm willing to pay less for the property because the underwriting is telling me it's worth a little bit less if I'm not going to have better cash flow. So we're making offers that are pretty low compared to other people, but there's still people out there who are underwriting as though it's, 2019 and they're getting the properties. I don't know if they're winning. as far as that contest goes, but they'll probably be okay, but I don't want to take that risk.
Yeah. I know, I've spoken a lot about it's nice to just be able to sleep at night and how you structure and run your business and your practices allow you to know that your investors are taken care of.
Right. Yeah. And that's partly, being intentional about, one of the things I had a concern with initially, the first people that will invest with you are friends and family. At least that's sort of the easier pickings because they already know and hopefully they like you and trust you. So then, you have to gain the real estate experience, but eventually those friends and families are the ones who are going to invest with you first. If that happens and you have a bad deal, it could make for some really awkward Thanksgivings. I'd like to avoid that as much as possible. I did go ahead and move forward with friends and family investing in my first several deals. Many of them have reinvested multiple times. So now I'm in deep. It's all friends and family. And then they're friends and family. It just kind of grew naturally that way.
Right.
But I cannot let them down. I cannot do a deal that's not going to be great. So, you know, maybe I put too much pressure on myself, but I think everyone should look at it that way. Right. You know, don't do the deal unless you'd be willing to send that same deal to your mom and have her invest her life savings, the money that she literally worked for 30 years to get. You know, that's how you should be looking at all of it. And if it's good enough for your mom, then great, send it to everybody.
That's a really good standard. And you're right, you have had so many investors reinvest. And one thing I've been super impressed with you is that, you know, when you've had something go full cycle, you don't just leave your investors high and dry. I notice that you have something for them, because sometimes there's a big influx of money and that can really be detrimental to somebody on their income taxes and such. Like, but you have something for them. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, some of that's luck. So
there's no luck. You are so calculated. There's no luck, Steve.
I'm not going to do a deal just to try to help with the tax situation.
That's true.
Obviously, like, that's letting the tax tail wag the dog. So what I'm going to look for is, you know, when we sell, you know, 3 months before the closing comes or 4 months before closing, you've got a sense that things are going to move forward. So yeah, we're always on the lookout for deals, and we're doing two or three a year anyway. So if the timing does work out, it is really nice to be able to just sort of offer another real estate investment or syndication. Oops, pardon the dog.
Dogs are welcome.
Yeah. So our investors know that, you know, there's likely going to be something else out there. And what happens is the passive gain or the capital gain that they get on the property that they sold, they can now move that into this new property. And as long as it's done in the same tax year, and there's nothing crazy, there's no documents or paperwork or anything, you simply just sell one property and buy into another one. And there's passive losses on the new property that comes from cost segregation, which we're not going to get into all those details here, but that's a really huge tax advantage of investing in real estate. So those losses will offset the gain from the prior property.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's amazing. And it's amazing how many people don't know. I always get shocked that I grew up in this real estate family, but residential. And how did I never know about this? Right. How was this never spoken of? That actually gets me a little fired up sometimes, but I thought, you know,
there's some advantages tax-wise to having single family or duplex or whatever. But it's minuscule in comparison to the advantages of the larger properties.
Yeah.
Even as a passive investor.
And I could go on about all the reasons I love multifamily, but people hear that every single week. So like, maybe I will spare everybody from Julie going on again. So Steve, we are wrapping our time up. Are there any other gems? There are so many things. I have learned personally so much from you, and you have kept me from moving forward. Let me backtrack on that. You haven't kept me from moving forward on anything. You've taught me how to look at things and evaluate things so that I can make a smart choice for my financial well-being and everything. So I was the recipient of so many gems, and you've given us so many over this episode. Is there anything else that you would like to leave the listeners with?
Just in terms of slowing you down a little bit and helping to temper your inner maverick. I love doing that, because most of the time when I'm coaching somebody, they're coming in and they're like, I'm doing this real estate thing. We're going to have a property by the end of the month or by the end of the year, whatever it is. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. And when they're like you, full of energy and just a go-getter, you can get yourself into trouble. So I did have to hold you back a little bit.
It's true.
Yeah. So anything else? I sent out an email 2 days ago because I was offering a deal. And so it went out to my investors and somebody responded. So I was looking in my email. There's the reading pane. And then there's the pane that shows who sent the email. I was only looking at the reading pane. I was just kind of scrolling through quickly to see, am I getting a lot of responses or not? And one person responded back and just said, snake oil. And that was the only response. And I'm like, oh, some people. And then I looked and saw who it was. It was another one of my real estate friends. And he was just like, oh. But there are so many people that just believe that real estate is like some kind of a scam. But you know, if you do know somebody who I'm speaking to all the potential passive investors out there. If you know somebody who is in this business, or you hear a podcast, something like this one, and it resonates with you, just pick up the phone or go to their website, and you know, most of us have a calendar link. Have a discussion. Like Julie and I, and I think pretty much everybody I know in this business, are more than happy to talk strategy about your current properties, talk about the benefits of real estate, whatever, answer all of your questions. Whether you invest or not, doesn't even make any difference. You know, a lot of what we want to do is just give back and make sure everyone else out there understands what this option looks like and what they can do. So yeah, just pick up the phone, investigate a little bit, really understand it before you call it snake oil. If people think it is great, yeah, that's fine. But no, for sure, because there is a huge opportunity here.
Yeah, it definitely is a huge opportunity for a loss, a significant loss. That's great sound advice. And as I mentioned earlier, I usually end the episode by saying, if Steve has resonated with you, and this is what I love about multifamily. And my husband and I were talking about this recently. And I said, you know, this is one of the only niches where I feel like the level of competition is very different. It's not a direct competition. Like because some people think it's odd that I'll be like, yeah, go check out Steve's website. And, mm-hmm. you know, if he resonated with you, you should call him up. You should get in touch with him. And by the way, awesome audience, like this is somebody I've actually sent people to, because if I don't have something to offer, and this is where people's belief system really comes out. If I don't have something to offer passive investors, then if I truly want to put their best interest forward, I need to send them to someone that can help. Someone that might have something. It sounds like you might have something right now, by the way, to everyone listening. But, you know, all that to say, go check out Steve's website. By the way, he just redid it and it looks so spectacular. It really looks great.
With a little help from Julie.
So anyway, go check out his website, get on his investor list so that you don't miss opportunities that he has coming up in the future, and give him a call. You can already tell he's friendly.
And the website is velocitycap.com.
So sometimes I've put in Velocity Capital and then I have to scroll down and go up.
Probably going to go to a different company.
Yep, you will. You will. So make sure it's just short, not capital, just Velocity Cap. Excellent. Right on. And on there, you can find, it really walks you through the whole entire process. It's really a well done website. So but more importantly, get on the phone, schedule a time to talk to Steve. So Steve, thank you. I appreciate you as a person, you as an investor, and I appreciate the time that you've spent with us today.
Ditto on all of that. Thanks for having me.
As always, everyone listening, please go and find your freedom.
Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Ask Me How I Know. This episode was brought to you by Three Keys Investments. They are dedicated to helping people like you. Yeah, you, my awesome listeners, develop passive income and legacy wealth through multifamily investing. Feel free to check out their website, threekeysinvestments.com, to see if there's an offering that will help your portfolio grow and meet all of your needs. If you haven't already rated, reviewed, subscribed, liked, all of those bells and whistles, I would be absolutely honored if you would do that for Ask Me How I Know. Thanks again, and go make it a great day.